Is Parshas Noso. Parshas Noso. Bar Mitzvah Parshas of some of our wonderful Talmidim, one present, one not present, but we love them anyway. And here we go. Parshas Noso is a packed Parsha. A lot of stuff going on in Parshas Noso. It's the end of the count of the Levim from last week's Parsha of Bamidbar. And has a lot of very important things in it, sending people out of the Machane Israel, and then it moves on to Sota, and does it, and the rest of the long, and Berachas Kohanim, and the last part of the Parsha, as we know, is the long, repetitive, seemingly repetitive Aliyah of all the Karbanos and the Siyam and the Chalukas on his back. I want to focus today with you on one aspect of the Parsha, particularly the Nazir. I'd like to talk with you about the Nazir. Welcome, Josh, nice to have you. Like to discuss the Nazir with you. And I'd like to share with you some ideas that I saw in this beautiful Sefer Or Gedal Yehu, where he highlights a very, very beautiful idea about the Nazir that certainly can affect us and impact us in our lives. The Torah has a very, very interesting introduction to the Nazir. It's okay. It says, "Vayidaber Hashem Moshe le'emor, daber el b'nei Yisrael v'amarta aleihem ish o isha ki yafli lindor neder nazir la'azir la'Hashem." Yafli. The word yafli comes from the word pele. Pele means a wonder. And the obvious question is, what's the big wonder of a nazir? Why is that such a wonderment? A pele! What's a pele? What's the pele of the nazir? What are we getting so excited about? So the Ibn Ezra, on the spot, has the following beautiful insight. And this is what Gedal Yeshur in the Sefer develops really beautifully. Says the Ibn Ezra, here's the Pella. You know why it's a Pella? O Yasa Dvar Pella, ki rov ha'olam hochin achar ta'avasam. Because the majority of the world follows their taivos, follows their desires. And what's the Nazir doing? The Nazir is a person who is abstaining, taking a step back, not giving into his desires. The desire for wine is great. Wine is yummy, it's delicious, it's excitement. People party with wine all the time. The Nazir says, "I'm not having wine." Not only am I not having wine, but nothing that relates to wine. No seeds of grapes, no shells, no nothing, no pits. Nothing. He refrains entirely. Hair, Abosai, hair is a very, very physical part of a person's body. We make the bracha every day, Shalom Asani Isha. That's a very special bracha to make. One thing that women have over men and the hair. You know, men also have hair, it's true. But you know, women care about their hair usually more than men do. Nothing wrong with that, but say they should, it's fine. It's Beseder Gomer. It's totally fine. But the point that hair is a physical thing. Hair is something that relates to physicality. And the Nazir lets his hair grow and doesn't touch his hair, is being Poresh, is separating from Taivos and the physicalities of this world. The Ibn Ezra goes further. Listen to this, it's a beautiful Ibn Ezra. If you look at Pasuk Zion, it tells us that he's not allowed to become Tamei the Nazir. Father dies, Zachmanu son, mother dies, brother, sister, you can't become Tamei with them. Why? Listen to this, because the crown of God is on his head. What crown of God? What does that mean? In what way is the Nazir wearing the crown of God? Again, the Ibn Ezra comes through and says, you know what it means, this Nazir, it's a crown? The Dak, he called Bnei Adam Avde Tavos Ha'olam. Most people are servants to the Tavos of this world. The Melech, the Emes, but the real king, the true king, Sheish Lo Nizer Vateres Malchus Barosho, is wearing a crown on his head. Kol Mishu Chafshi Min HaTavos. The real king is the person who is free of desires in this world. A very, very nice description of the Nazir. A fresh look at the Nazir. The Nazir is, number one, a Pella. Why is he a Pella? because he is separated from the Torahs in this world, and he wears a crown. He wears a crown that is said to symbolize, a crown that symbolizes that he is a person who has separated from the Torahs of this world. We make a bracha every single day, many times a day, hopefully, if we're healthy. Rofechol basar umaflila asos. What does that bracha mean? So, Dali Shari quotes the Ramah. The Ramah in Shulchan Aruch says, here's the pshat. You know what the pella of the human being is? There's a lot of wonders about the human being. Every part of the human being is a wonderment. The fact that we cut our skin and our skin grows back, that's a wonder. That's not the pella he's talking about. The fact that when food goes into our system, it goes where it has to go, that's also not the wonder that the bracha is referring to, says the Ramah. So what is it? Says the Ramah, "Vaflila asos" means the wonder of Hashem putting together our guf with our neshama. How does something physical and spiritual coexist? How does our body, which is all physical, flesh and bones, blood, sinews, I love that word. How does that all go together with the neshama, with the soul that searches and soars and yearns for ruchnius, for spirituality? And the answer is, it's a pella. The answer is God. The answer is God puts together the body and the soul. And that's a wonderment. That's a pella. That's umaflila asos. That's the nazir. The nazir who is involved in some way, shape, or form with taking a step back from the physical, run-of-the-mill, natural desire of man just to go after his desires and live in this world. Rabosa, the truth of the matter is the nazir, in a certain sense, is the chote. After he finishes in the zeros, he has to bring a karban, because he deprived himself of the pleasures of this world. So what is he? Is he a hero? Is he wearing a crown? Is he a pele? Or is he a sinner who brings a karban for his avera of drinking too much, of abstaining from the pleasures of this world? So the answer is both. The answer is the pele, the mafla asos, the ultimate is to find the right balance between body and soul. To find the right balance between ruchnis and gashmis. To find the right balance between our desires, which are natural, and our being able to devote ourselves to that which is spiritual and beyond the desires of this world. And I want to give you some examples in our lives, how we can hopefully incorporate this into our lives. I've mentioned many times over the course of this year, because it really stuck with me. I've mentioned many times over the course of this year the hespedim that were given for Moshe Twersky, Rebbe Kol Damo, was murdered in Harof a few months ago. When my Rebbe was married Twersky, Shlita, when he was master of his brother, he said the following thing. He said a lot of things, beautiful things. But one thing he said was that his brother's orientation in life was a ruchnius orientation. He explained himself much more eloquently than I can right now. But he explained so beautifully that some people live in this world and they're really physical beings. And once in a while they sprinkle in a little spirituality into their lives. I'll go to shul in the morning, I'll dabble in the minyan, I'll dabble out a minyan, I'll put on tefillin, hopefully I'll make brachos. And that's certain kind of sprinkling of Judaism, of spirituality, of ruchnius, of soul into their body existence. And there are some people in the world whose whole orientation, whose whole existence is a spiritual orientation. They eat, but they have to eat. They have to. They eat not like steaks. They eat what they have to eat to get by. The steaks aren't on the radar. Who wants a steak? Ich. But they don't indulge in the pleasure of this world because their orientation, fellas, is a ruchni orientation. That's a very, very extreme example. Let me give you an example that maybe we can relate to a little bit more. Let's try to bring this a little closer to home. I saw a beautiful story in Aleinu Shabbat last night. Just to give us an example of a ruchnius orientation that we could all touch. We could all touch. It was told about a Gaon of Israel who's living well, Rav Steinman from Bnei Brak. few years ago, he went around with one of the Hasidic rabbis to America to mechazek the Jews in America. And he came to different places, and I actually went to see Steinman on this trip. It's pretty cool. I was reading about a story that I was actually a part of in a certain small way. I went to a yeshiva in Queens, and Steinman was there to go ahead and give chizuk. Anyway, make a long story short, we went to certain places, and a lot of times in certain places, you couldn't even get to see him. There were thousands and thousands, throngs of people that came to see him and to hear him, and you couldn't even see him or hear him. He's a very short man. He wasn't like put up on some big, you know, big bima. He came, he spoke from a little microphone, and then they left to the next place. So there's a certain rabbi in Brooklyn who came to see Steinman, and it was a little bit disappointing because he didn't get a chance to see him. Next morning he goes to his own shul, he's the rabbi of the shul in Brooklyn, and lo and behold, he sees Steinman walking up the stairs to daven in his shul next morning. Which is very strange because Steinman wasn't a Sephardi. He isn't a Sephardi. There's a Sephardi shul, Akeret Torah, in Brooklyn. The rabbi was just wondering, what in the world is Steinman, the Gadol HaDor, doing walking up the steps of my shul in his 90s already on a random day in Brooklyn? So after davening, he went over to Steinman and gave him Shalom Aleichem, welcomed him to the shul, and asked, what is the Rosh Yeshiva doing here? Why did you come to the shul? And he said, I'll tell you a very simple thing. He said, in Chutz La'aretz, the Ashkenazi shuls don't have Brichas Kohanim every single day. I miss Brichas Kohanim. The Sephardim, you say Brichas Kohanim, they have Duchening every day. I was out of Eretz Yisrael, and I couldn't hear Duchening by the Ashkenazim. But I wanted to hear Duchening. I wanted to get that special Brach of the Kohanim. So I came to Shul to hear Brichas Kohanim. What a beautiful thing. Is he Chayim Brichas Kohanim? No. Is he Sephardi? No. Does he have a drive for spirituality in this world? Yes. Has it translated to us in our lives? What does this mean to me? What this means to us is the following thing. Life is a balance. Life is a struggle. There's a tug of war that's going on constantly inside of us. Between our body and our soul. The Pella, the ultimate Pella, is to try to find the perfect balance. Perfect balance between body and soul. Perfect balance between understanding I'm a human being, I'm a physical being, I have desires. But not just once in a while sprinkling in a little ruchnius. Maybe trying each person in his own way to make our orientation a little bit more spiritual. The way we think a little more spiritual. I'm going to give a shout out. I'm sorry to do this even on a parsha shmos, but rumor has it that tomorrow night there's a Ranger game. Rumor has it it's game 7. Rumor has it that some people are big Ranger fans and they even want to know what's going on in the game. The spiritually oriented person, the right pella, the right blend of ruchni and gashmi, body and soul, picks the soul over the body in that case. And says, you know what, I can do without knowing what's going on in the Ranger game. Even though I invested so many hours watching the game beforehand, and I may have watched game 1, and how could I invest so much in game 1 and not watch game 7? Don't worry about it. I'm mocha for you. It's okay. It's fine. You can watch game 1 and not watch game 7. It's okay. It's Peseder. It's mutter. It's mutter l'chachil. It's probably a mitzvah. Mitzvah not to watch game 7. Or not even to know what's going on in game 7 on Shabbos. Where does that come from? It comes from the right blend of mafli lasos. It comes from trying to put a little bit more of ruchnius into our lives. A little bit more spiritually oriented. To make our orientation towards Yiddishkeit a little bit more than just a sprinkle and just like a cherry on top. And make it more of the ice cream sundae. Of the strawberry sundae. Not just the strawberry cherry on top over there. Not the sprinkles, but to make it really part of the essence of who we are. We should be zocha, each and every one of us, fellas, to become more of that pella, to become more of that perfect blend, more of that proper blend of body and soul, of ruchni and gashmi. We should be zocha to wear the crown of the Mishnah we learned in Perkei Avos, the crown of the Keser Shem Tov, the crown of the person that knows exactly how to put everything into perspective, to put it into order, to wear the crown happily and proudly for many years to come. Have a wonderful Shabbos, everyone.